Amen. So we are in part two of a series entitled Believe Big. On the count of three, I want everyone in the room and online to say Believe Big. Here we go. One, two, three. This is a series about having bold faith in a big God who can do the impossible, who can do anything but fail in our lives. And for my subtopic today, we're going to be talking from the subject that faith is a decision. Faith is a decision. So last week we talked about believe big. Today we're going to talk about faith being a decision. And as we begin to really talk about faith, faith is a two-sided coin. You've got acting on one side, you've got believing on other, but really believing is key. Pastor, why is believing key? Because if I believe something, I'll act on it. Right? If I believe the word of God, you know, concerning prayer that he'll hear me, you got it, then I'll pray. If I believe the word of God concerning giving, you got it, that when I return the first, that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. If I believe it, then I'll do it. If I believe in fasting, that if I will turn down my plate, you know, so my spirit man can come forth, it'll cause me to hear God and get wisdom I need and those kind of things, then I'll do it. So if I believe something, then I'll do it. Now, to walk in any spiritual truth, and faith is a spiritual truth, you need four things. How many things do you need, class? The first thing you need is a revelation. A revelation is an understanding of the Word of God at your level of comprehension. And that's why I teach you the Word of God in a simplistic way where you can understand it. So by the time you walk out of here, you understand it, you know how to apply it so you can get results. God is about you getting results in your life. So number one, you need a revelation. Number two, you need a role model. You need a role model. You need to see the principle lived out in the life of another. I've always taught people that if there's a fast track to success in life, it's mentorship, because mentorship is just taking somebody down a road that you've already been. The number three, you need a regimen of faith. This is a systematic way of applying the word of God in your situation so you can get the same results that others do. And that is why Pastor teaches you faith. That is why Pastor teaches you the ABCs of faith, the asking, and then I believe, and then I confess, you know, then I demonstrate, to act like it's so. And so it's important that we have a regimen of faith. And then number four, the fourth thing you need to walk in any spiritual truth is a righteous resolve. Everybody say righteous resolve. And righteous resolve is just simply a conviction to do it God's way. A righteous resolve is I'm always going to do it God's way. I'm always going to do it with integrity because I understand that if I do it God's way, what's going to happen? I'm going to get God results, right? And so to walk in any spiritual truth, that's what you need. You need a revelation. You need a role model. You need a regimen of faith. And you need a righteous resolve. Now, when I'm talking about believing, and I'm talking about believing big, I'm talking about believing God's way. And in order to believe God's way, you have to renew your mind and change your way of thinking. You have to renew your mind so that logic and human reasoning and statistics don't override, you got it, the word of God and what pastor's trying to teach you to get you to the next level. Does that make sense? Because I'll start teaching you on faith and those kind of things, and you, if you're not careful, you'll go and you'll see social media, watch the news, or hear somebody talk doubt and unbelief, and the enemy will come in immediately to try to steal the seed that is just been sown into your life, because he doesn't want you to believe, because even the enemy knows if you believe, it's going to work in your favor. Does that make sense? Yeah, and you know, and so you don't let the devil talk you out of what God's word already says. Right? Now, the Bible is full of promises. The Bible is full of prophecies, and the Bible is full of principles. For every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. So there's something that I've got to do, right? You can't just think that I'm just going to, you know, sit by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away, you know, and the Lord, he's just going to poof, make it happen. No, there's something that I need to do, because contrary to popular belief, the will of God is not automatic. A lot of people grew up just thinking whatever the Lord was going to do is just what he's going to do, but that's not true. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. We could just stop right there and give God praise because he's long-suffering toward us, right? Watch this. It's, so after it says long-suffering toward us, what are those next two words, class? Okay, we're going to try it again. Thank you, Sister Jordan. What are those next two words, class? All right. Not willing. Do y'all know what not willing means? Not willing. Not willing. So it is not God's will, right? that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it shows, watch this, that the will of God is not automatic, because God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. But the truth is, there are people who don't accept Christ into their life. And if they don't accept Christ into their life, and watch this, and they pass away or die on this earth, they will not go to heaven. They will end up going to hell. And we don't want anyone to go to hell, but we got to do what the Word of God says do. So the Bible is clear that the will of God is not automatic, that God needs our permission and he needs our participation to usher his will into our lives. So if you're in faith for a better marriage, he needs your permission and your participation. If you want your finances to go to the next level and you want to get out of debt, he needs your permission and your participation. If you're praying for your children, right, you've got a part to even play in that. He needs your permission and your participation to usher his will into your life. Now, I have 5 justifiable expectations that when I'm standing in faith. So when I'm standing in faith, I'm not just a hoping and a praying that maybe something might happen. You got it? You know, because God is not magical, but God is sovereign. Right? And God is he's a God of purpose, right? He's a God of principle. And so I have 5 justifiable expectations when I'm standing in faith. Everybody say number one. Number one, I have a plan of action. So when I'm standing in faith, that's the first thing I need. I need a plan of action. Why, Pastor? Because faith without a plan is no good. You got it. You know, I believe, but faith without works is dead, being alone. So I got to put some feet to my faith, and there's some things that I need to do, right? Now, if you're believing for a job, how many know you can't just sleep in till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning? You know, you wake up 11 o'clock, ooh, Father, I believe I received that job. You got it. Around noontime, you start kicking it. You got to go make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You understand? I believe I received. No, come on, somebody. Faith without works is dead. I need to get up. I need to get dressed. Come on, somebody. I need to declare the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you that today is the day of open doors, that today is the day of favor, that as I head out there, Father, I thank you that favor is going to meet me in uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable ways. So I thank you for a good job with good paying money that has good benefits. I'll have good co-workers. I believe it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Now I'm off to go look for my job. Does that make sense? But laying around till 1 o'clock is not going to produce that in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't look at anybody. Just keep looking straight at me. So number one, I need a plan of action. Number two, I need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. This is for God to give me the correct application of knowledge that I need for the situation that I'm in. If you remember last week, we read in the book of James where it says, if any of you need wisdom, all we had to do was what, class? Ask of God, right? And so we already know that if I need wisdom, I just need to ask from God. Number three, I need the favor of God. And this is for God to place someone somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper in life. God will raise up people to help you. When you are in covenant with God, God will raise up people to help you. When you are doing things God's way, God will raise up people to help you. And that's what the favor of God is. Now, let me just help you. You don't have to go help God by trying to go tell somebody, are you the one to help me? Does that make sense? I was on the road preaching, and some lady came to me after service, and she told me, I can't even remember anymore. It's been a while, but she had so much money in debt, and the Lord told her somebody was going to write a check, you know, and was going to take care of it. And she's looking at me, you got it? And she's like, I know who's going to do it. You got it? I said, well, praise the Lord. Well, we believe that God's going to speak to that person. I'm in agreement with you in Jesus' name. You got it? Because what we don't need, hello somebody, is to try to help God in who he desires to raise up to help us in life. Does that make sense? You got it? Because you've always heard me say giving is not what? Yeah, so giving should be spirit-led based on the word of God. Did you hear what I said? Giving should be spirit-led based on the word of God. And the first thing that the Spirit of God is always going to lead me to do is to bring the first or return the first to the Lord to give the tithe. That's the first thing God's going to tell me to do. One guy told me one time, and I did not fuss with him because I am not a fussing preacher. You understand? You know what? I'm going to come, but I'm not going to give my tithe. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go help people, you know. And I said, okay, no problem. You got it. You know, because I'm not going to fuss with you. The tithe, it doesn't belong to your neighbor. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Does that make sense? You got it? Because Romans teaches us that if the first be holy, you got it, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so is the branches. So whoever you give the first to has to have power to bless the rest. Your neighbor can't bless the rest. Target can't bless the rest. Come on, somebody. Only God can bless the rest. Now, I believe in being a blessing to people. Lady LaConte and I are a blessing to a lot of people, but it's not apart from us first giving our 15%. That's what we chose to do. We give 15% to the Lord. So we give. He only requires tithe, where the writer says tithe and offering, but offering is up to you. You understand? And so, but that is what we do, and then we help people beyond that, but we understand that first we return what belongs to the Lord, and everything goes from there. Does that make sense? So when I'm in, I have five justifiable expectations when I'm standing in faith. So we already said, number one, a plan of action. Then we said, number two, the wisdom of God. Then we said, number three, the favor of God. Now, number four is a miracle. And I don't know about you, but I believe that we serve a supernatural power. We serve a supernatural God that can do supernatural things, that he is the God of miracles. And that if you believe, not some things, but all things become possible to you. And so I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in supernatural healings. I believe in supernatural increase. I believe in supernatural wisdom. I believe in a supernatural God that is still a supernatural God that is still active in the earth realm. And it is just waiting for those of us that have our hearts that are open in faith to receive, so he can do incredible things in us and through us to establish his covenant in the earth realm. Does that make sense? So plan of action, the wisdom of God, the favor of God, the miracle, and then number five, here's a big one, class, strength to endure until change comes. Strength to endure until change comes. While you're waiting for the manifestation of the thing you prayed for, while you're waiting for the manifestation of the thing you believed for, while you're waiting for the manifestation of the thing that you sowed, you know, toward, you have to have strength to endure until change comes. Because where the devil tries to get you is time. Because what happens, you'll come, you'll believe, you got it. He's like, I got the word, you got it, and I'm a giver, so I'm in covenant with God. And Father, I thank you. You're walking out here, I believe, I receive, it's already done. You know, you had heard a great lesson today, and you walk out of here ready to go bear hunting with a switch. You understand what I'm saying? You got it, you're ready to go. But then, watch this, if you don't see it Monday, you have to say, I still believe God. If you don't see it Tuesday, I still believe God. If you don't see it Thursday, I still believe God. Because you have to stay in faith, because what the enemy will try to do, see, the enemy knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. So what he'll do is he'll hope him and time, you got it, will slowly wear you out to begin to degrade your faith, to cause you to start backing up in faith and start saying things, well, maybe I don't need that, and it's not really that big of a deal. No, now you're backing up in faith based on the thing that God already said you can have in his word. And so the enemy will try to get you at time. So if it's not happening as quick as we want it to happen sometime, here he comes with his little fiery darts, which are just negative thoughts. And that's why you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. That when a negative thought comes your way, cast it down. You got it. Replace it with the word of God and keep moving forward in faith. Does that make sense? Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right. Y'all get anything out of this? That was all my introduction. Praise. I meant to tell you on the front end, I had a long introduction. Now, we still gonna get out when we always get out. You got it, you know. Y'all already know how many points I have, right? Three simple points, right? You know, well, Pastor, you've given us nine. No, those were just the, you know. What's it called at the beginning? It's not the prelude, is it? Is the prelude the end or the beginning? It's the beginning? Prelude. Is it? Prelude. Thank you, Ellen. All right. Because some of y'all are like, yes, oh no, maybe, I'm not sure, all right? Well, I don't know either. That's why I was asking y'all, so I guess we're all in the same boat. But that was just the prelude to my 3 points, praise the Lord, all right? Okay, so Pastor's got 3 points, and we're talking from the subject of faith is a decision. Faith is a decision. What is faith? Yeah, and it is point number one, faith is a decision to trust God's word over our feelings. Faith is a decision to trust God's word over our feelings. You got it? And how many know we can't live by our feelings? We got to live by faith. You got it. Romans teaches us that the just, those of us have been declared right because of the blood of the Lamb, we live by faith. We can't live by feelings. You got it. You got it. Because, you know, because feelings will let you down. You got it. Feelings that have you sometime up and sometime down and sometime almost level to the ground. And listen, I love when I'm feeling great. You got it. But I still can't live by my feelings. I have to live by faith, because what if one day I don't feel great? I still got to walk by faith. I still have to confess the word of God. I still have to stand on his promises. I still got to love people in spite of. I still got to have joy in spite of. So I can't be based on my feelings. You got, because if you're based on your feelings and you ain't in the best mood, and the cashier down there at the Piggly Wiggly say something off to you, if you're not careful, you'll give her a piece of your mind. But that's not God's will to give her a piece of your mind. Right? It's always God's will for you and I to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You got it? For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and temperance, right? And when you keep reading all those, at the end it says, against such, no one can bring a charge against you, right? And so faith is a decision to trust God's word over our feelings. So faith is not a feeling. It is a choice that we make daily to trust God, regardless of our emotions or our circumstances, that I'm going to trust God no matter what. And truth be told, sometimes there are some situations that you know, we ain't feeling it. Let's just be honest. You got it. And it doesn't make you a bad Christian because you ain't feeling it. Sometimes you ain't happy about a certain situation, right? You know, but what happens is when you learn how to walk by faith, you know how to temper your feelings. You got it. And just even though I'm not feeling that, I'm not going to allow my feelings to overtake me. I'm going to keep living by faith, right? So 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, very familiar passage of scripture. It says we walk by and not by or not by sense realm. So it doesn't matter what I see. I believe the word of God. So faith isn't based on what we see or feel. It is a decision to believe what God says is true, even, watch this, when it doesn't look that way or we don't feel that way. So it's not about feelings. I wish all of y'all felt good all the time, 100% of the time. You got it? You know, but you're probably always, you know, let's just say your joy is on 100. I wish your joy was always on 100, right? True, but the truth be told, your joy is probably not always going to be on 100. Well, Pastor, I wish you would be more positive. I'm positive your joy is not always going to be on 100. You understand what I'm saying? That's just because Paul began to teach us the reason is because that we're flesh. You understand? You got in sometime your flesh ain't always happy. But that is why your spirit man always has to have the front seat, and my carnal man always has to have the back seat. All right? And you know, you got to understand that you have to make decisions based on faith and not based on feelings. Peter steps out on the water to go see Jesus in the middle of the storm. Did you ever really read that to understand that it wasn't like the storm stopped and Jesus said, come see me, Peter. Peter is talking to Jesus in the middle of a storm. Jesus tells Peter to come to me in the middle of a storm. Peter, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your tough time, you got to get out of the boat and go and walk and get to Jesus. You got it? So in the middle of the storm, you got to keep walking by faith. In the middle of the storm, you got to do things that you haven't done before. In the middle of the storm, you still got to listen for Jesus' voice. In the middle of the storm, you still got to keep talking to Jesus. Those are all the things that Peter did. And even, watch this, when Peter began to sing, Jesus was right there to get him up. And Peter said, Lord, I'm sorry, Jesus. Jesus said, no problem. Let's go back to the boat. They walked back to the boat in the storm. Jesus didn't stop the storm and say, okay, Peter, let's go back to the boat. If you read the scripture, the storm and the wind didn't cease until after they got back in the boat. What am I saying with you? God is with you right in the middle of your storm. He is never going to leave you. He is never going to forsake you. He is always going to be with you. I know sometimes you wish you weren't going through a storm, and I wish you weren't going through a storm. But the great news is that God is with you even when you go through your storm. So Peter steps, my man stepped out on the water to go see Jesus, you got it, in the rain, y'all. A lot of people won't go outside if it's raining. They'll see the mailman come, they'll see the rain, I'll get it later. He chose to believe Jesus' word over the reality of the waves. Did you hear what I said? He chose to believe Jesus' word over the reality of the waves. The waves were real. Right. Watch this. And this might not be good English, good grammar, but Jesus' word was realer. All right. So when walking by faith, you cannot be moved by what you see, only by what you believe, and you have to believe the word. All right. Set your faith and your feelings will follow. What did I say? Set your faith and your feelings will follow. So that's number one. Faith is a decision to trust God's word over your feelings. All right. All right. Here we go. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, faith is a decision to obey even when it's hard. Faith is a decision to obey even when it's hard, all right? Sometimes, this still has a lot to do with feelings, because sometimes you don't feel like praying because you're going through something and you might be upset, but prayer is the best thing you can do, because prayer is communication with God, but it's also confrontation with the devil, right? And sometimes you might, it's hard to pray when I don't feel good. You got to take your feelings and put them in your back pocket and start talking to Jesus. You got it. Well, it's hard to give the tithe right now, because I got this going on, I got that going on, and you will always have those things going on. But if you will learn to always put God at the top of the list, you'll see some supernatural things happen, and He'll take care of the rest of your list. Does that make sense? So faith is a decision to obey. Everybody say obey God. It's just a decision to obey even when it's hard. See, faith and obedience work together. Obedience is my entitlement to the blessing, but it is my faith that brings it into manifestation in my life. So even, watch this, as I'm obeying, I still need to be in faith, because they got to work together. Does that make sense? So I'm obeying by returning the tithe, but I still got to be in faith that He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessing that there not be room enough to receive. Right? Hebrews 11 and 8, the Bible talks about how Abraham obeyed. It says, by faith. How, class?
By faith.
That's good class. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing. Everybody say not knowing.
Not knowing.
Not knowing where he was going. The key to moving forward in faith is trusting God at the not knowing level. Because you're not going to know everything, and you're not going to understand everything. The writer says, who can understand his ways? They are far past finding out. And there are some times, some situations, I might not know exactly how it's going to work out, although I do know that God's going to work it out. But even in my not knowing stage, I trust God in spite of, because in those moments, you have to make a decision to set your will to trust God no matter what. That no matter what I feel, no matter how I feel, Lord, I believe you. No matter, even though I don't really understand or know fully what's going on, Lord, I trust you. Because faith is not just believing, it's obeying. Faith is not just believing, it's obeying. Abraham made a decision to follow God without full details. And you and I have to make a decision to follow God without full details, because a lot of times as we begin to obey God, how many have ever been through a situation where God told you something, but He didn't tell you the whole thing? And it's like, as I took steps, that things begin to unfold. Why? Because He shows you as you go. Does that make sense? He shows you. I believe that if he would have given Abram, he was Abram at the time, everything, he said, that's going to happen. I'm just going to stay right on here with my kinfolk. You got it. My mom-in-law ain't that bad. Praise the Lord. I'm staying right on here. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm just a joke. All right. So God often asks us to take first steps before showing us the rest of the steps, right? He told the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He told the 10 lepers to go show yourself to the priest. He told Peter to go fishing again, and don't just go fishing, to launch out into the deep for a drought. He told the paralyzed man to take up his bed and walk. And every last one of those examples all obeyed, and they all received their breakthrough. So the key is learning to obey God in spite of what I feel, in spite of what I don't know, in spite of what I look like. I only obey God based on one thing, that He is God. There's nobody like Him. I trust Him with my life. I'm going to obey Him. And as I obey Him, breakthrough shows up in my life. Does that make sense? All right. Everybody say obey God.
Obey God.
Okay, I'm almost done. Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time on the clock. See, that long introduction didn't mess us up. All right, so let's rehearse in the back. Put up number one. Now, normally, I don't ask you to repeat when I have long points, but I'm going to ask you to repeat. And so I did that on purpose to give you a time to see what it says so you can read it with your eyes before you say it with your mouth. Praise the Lord. Okay, with a strong voice on point, with a strong voice on how do I say that? I'm going to count to three, and with a strong voice, give me point number one. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Faith is a decision to trust God's word over our feelings.
Yeah, why do you need me to say that, Pastor? Because faith is released by the words of my mouth. And there's some things that I need to say. All right, point number two. 1, 2, 3. All right, okay, we're going to go ahead and give them point number three in the back, and I'm going to count the point, I'm going to count the three, and they're going to say it. Here we go, 1, 2, 3.
Faith is a decision to speak life, not fear.
Faith is a decision to speak life and not fear. Faith is a decision to speak life and not fear. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's really picking up where David had spoken this before. Because, you know, David said, hey, I believe, therefore I speak, right? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, Paul says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, and therefore I've spoken. Right? He's basically saying that's what David said. But then he takes it another level and says, not only, watch this, does Brother David believe and he's spoken, he said, we got the same spirit of faith. It's been some years, but faith is still the same. The spirit of victory is still the same. God is still in the miracle working business. God is still doing supernatural things. So it didn't just happen in David's time. Paul said it's happening in my time. And I'm saying it ain't just happening in Paul's time. It's happening in our time. He says, we also believe, and therefore we speak. And so you've got to understand that faith is expressed through words. So we must choose to speak faith even in the most difficult situations in our life. And I'm going to give this to you. This is bookable. This is tweetable. This is grammable. I got about 90 seconds left. What you speak reveals what you've decided to believe. What you speak reveals what you decide. That's why if you come to me and you're talking some doubt and unbelief and in love, pastor corrects you. You got, oh, you know what I was saying. I said, no, I know what you said. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it eat the fruit thereof. You got it? Well, you, don't be so harsh. No, I'm not being harsh, but your life is in the balance and it's based on your words. Your life is in the balance, and watch this, your future is in the balance, and it's based on your words. Some of you don't even have any children yet, but depending on how you speak today, it's going to determine the type of life they're going to live before they've even gotten here. So you have to learn how to always speak faith-filled words, because the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and word. When you keep going, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God, seeing that the things which we see are not made of things which do appear. So what happens is, let me break it down for you. The Bible said there was nothing. God shows up and there's nothing. When he sees nothing, he does not say, oh my me, because he can't say, oh my God, because he's God, right? Okay, y'all get that? He does not say, oh my me, you understand? No, he sees that there's nothing, but he knows what he wants. So he does not allow what he sees to determine what he says. He does not allow the darkness. He does not allow the void. He does not allow the trouble. He does not allow the chaos to determine what's going to come out of his mouth. He already knows what he wants. So even though he doesn't see light, he is not moved by what he sees. He knows what he wants on the inside. So he says, let there be light. And what happens? Light shows up. In your life and in your situation, sometimes what you're believing for is not what you see. Sometimes what you're believing for is opposite of what you see. You're declaring peace and you don't see any peace. You're declaring these children are getting better and they seem like they're knuckleheading after knuckleheading, right? But you can't be moved by what you see. You've got to be moved by the word of God and only say what the word says, because if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you're going to see the word manifest in your life. Stand up. We got to make a declaration of faith. We got to go home. It's 10:13. I got 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. All right. Matter of fact, how many, if I would have needed it, would have gave me 5 more minutes? By show of hands, how many gave me 5? Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, all right. All right, what did I tell you last week? We reverse the report to men by rehearsing the word of God. Repeat after me. We reverse the report to men by rehearsing the word of God. Sometimes I say the promises of God, word of God, same thing, interchangeable, all right? So what are we going to do? We're going to make our momentum confession. So prayerfully, if I get to where I need to every Sunday during our faith series, we're going to continue to make this, because faith comes by hearing and not what you heard. So your faith was increased last week, and we praise God for it. But how many know you need your faith to continually to be increased? Your faith has to grow, the writer says, exceedingly. All right? So let's make this confession. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that 2025 will be a year of great momentum for me, my family, and those connected to me. I declare no lack, no limits, and no boundaries as I move forward in faith and experience your supernatural power at work in my life. Now say, I receive the wisdom and clarity I need to make good decisions that will affect the rest of my life in a positive way. Now say, I expect signs and wonders. I expect the supernatural. I expect miracles. I expect your favor to rest on me in uncommon ways. I choose to stay focused, be at peace, and keep my heart right on a daily basis. Now say, I refuse to fall into the trap of offense and make a commitment to stay focused, stay faithful, and stay the course. I thank you that your spirit, the spirit of victory, rest on me and my family, regardless of obstacles that come my way. Say, I will pray, I will plan, and I will praise my way to victory. Victory in my family, victory in my finances, victory in my health, victory in relationships, victory on my job, victory in my business, victory in my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Now somebody say, victory in every area of my life. Okay, here we go. So somebody say, so Father, I'm ready. Come on, I'm ready. Ready for victory. Nothing can stop me, and nothing can slow me down. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Now say with the expectation, I'm about to see something I've never seen before. Say, victory is mine. Come on, victory is mine. Come on, victory is mine. Say, victory right now is mine. Now say, I decree it, I declare it, it is so in Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's already done. It's already done. So we're not in faith to try to see things made happen. We believe, we receive in Jesus' name that it's already done. And so all you got to do when you walk out of here is just thank Him that it's already done. Things you believe for, Father, I thank you, it's already done in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I just declare in the name of Jesus, wisdom on top of wisdom for the people of God. Grace on top of grace. Increase on top of increase. Favor on top of favor. Father, I just thank you for your goodness overtaking your people in the name of Jesus. And so I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you, Father, that as we continue to flow in this series of faith, that our eyes have not seen and neither have our ears heard, and neither has it entered into our heart all the incredible things you have prepared for us, but week by week, day by day, hour by hour, you're unfolding it by your Holy Spirit. So I thank you for testimonies. Testimonies of miracles, testimonies of the supernatural, testimonies of increase, testimonies of the desires of the people of God's hearts coming to pass in their lives. And so I thank you for doing it in their lives. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?